Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and joining me today is Dr. David Mames, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. There's a term I hear used that I'd like to know your thoughts about, David. Every so often I'll hear a preacher, maybe on television or on the radio, say something like, "I'm feeling the anointing now." What in the world does that mean?
Well, I'm not sure I know how to answer it totally. I've heard it said. I was a part of a African-American congregation for 6 years, and that word was used a lot in the African-American church as I would visit other churches in the city and so on. It's not used as often in most white churches. But again, among Pentecostal preachers, you hear it a lot. I don't want to be facetious. I think sometimes, at least the people I knew, when they would use it, it meant I've worked up a sweat now, and I'm feeling the flow of words coming a little bit more. I think sometimes even I would hear ministers, and I wasn't sure what they were trying to say, and I would think, this means God help me. I didn't do the preparation I needed to. You know, if you don't come, I'm in big trouble. I don't know, but in the Old Testament, you read about anointing a great deal more than you do in the New Testament. You don't get it a lot. In fact, you get it very little in the New Testament. There is that one time where Jesus says, he unfolds the scroll, and it's the prophet Isaiah, and he says, "It's written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners," and so on. Then he rolls up the scroll and he says, "This scripture is fulfilled for you in this day." But even then, he's quoting an Old Testament scripture, which is Isaiah. And he's not saying, you know, "I'm feeling the anointing," or whatever. I am not sure what it means. It's almost become a junk phrase in some ways, you know. And I have been invited to different denominations to speak, and I have sat listening to other ministers before it was my turn to say something, and I would hear them use those words, you know. And usually, as I was trying to figure it out myself, it's the flow of words is really coming easily to me now, and I'm feeling that I'm being moved along by what's going on. But I wouldn't read in there a whole lot of spiritual reference. I don't see it as something supernatural taking place. And I'm struggling with it because I'm talking about a phrase that I don't use at all, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. In your own preaching, do you sense an anointing?
Well, now this is going to sound strange because the answer to that is yes. But the funny thing is that I sense it all during the preparation. I sometimes sense when I'm preaching, well, not sometimes, it's not enough. I sense quite often when I'm preaching that the people listening, there's a quiet that comes, and it's almost like you can feel the quiet. But I don't refer to that as anointing, and I never mention that when I'm preaching. I never say it's become unusually quiet, and everybody is just, their attention is riveted on what's being said. And I would attribute that to the Holy Spirit, but I don't reference it in my preaching. I don't say, "Oh boy, it's happening again," you know. But oftentimes, and I would say almost with every sermon I prepare, I sense what I would call an operation of the Holy Spirit as I'm putting the words together, or probably words, yes, words sometimes, but most significantly thoughts together as I'm outlining, as I'm working and saying, "I need an illustration." And then in what I would refer to as a supernatural way, the Lord gives me an illustration that works just perfectly because of something I have just read or something I heard someone else say or something that comes back into my memory. So I do sense it very, very much when I'm preparing. I don't try to use those words with people and say, "If you don't sense it when you're preparing, you don't know what the anointing is about." You know, I think that would put a mysterious burden on people that I don't necessarily want them to bear. But if you ask me, I would rephrase your words. I would say, "Do you sense the Holy Spirit working with you as you're preparing sermons?" The answer to that question would be very much. And could I tell people how I sense that? Yes, I could. As simple a thing as I would say every time, even before I'm working on the sermon, I say, God, I can't do this without your help. I need you to infuse my mind with what you want to say during this time. I'm doing that right now. I have a sermon I'm working on, and I'm saying, Lord, help me with your thoughts. And I'm very aware of the personal side of it, but I'm also aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit side of it. Not nearly as much as I'd want to be. I would be very open to saying, Lord, I'm totally passive. You do the whole thing. And I would be happy with that. But that never happens. It's always, it's work, but at the same time, it's joy, and I find myself in my sweet spot. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's really not a very good term, is it? But it's a sweet spot. I'm functioning at my very best. And I know God's hand in that whole process. But I would never mention that when I would get in the pulpit. I would never say, I knew God put his hand on me when I put this message together, so you better listen, because this thing is really good. You know, that those are not words I would use. I'm not comfortable with those.
Yeah. Are there preachers that you would say have a special anointing when they preach on their delivery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that Billy Graham had that. Mm-hmm. I cannot explain Billy Graham's ministry. I heard him preach numbers of times. I can't say I knew Billy Graham personally. I've met him, and he was gracious to me. I actually broadcast on his station in North Carolina, so he was aware of who I was. But I don't know how to explain Billy Graham. I think part of that is because literally thousands and thousands of people prayed for him, including me. You know, I would go to his rallies, and I would have been in prayer for Billy Graham. And I would listen to him, and I would think, boy, he missed it tonight. I don't think anybody will come to the front. And then he would give the invitation, and I would stand there absolutely amazed. These people just poured to the front, which was phenomenal. I don't know how that happened. I have certain friends who, as I listen to them preach, I can say one of several things. I can say they are incredibly skilled speakers. I wish I had their skill. You know, it's like you're maybe a B-rate singer and you hear an A-plus singer and you say, God, I wish you would bless me that way. They can hit notes I couldn't possibly hit. But I want to use what I have to the best of my ability. And so I'm glad for that person. At the same time, thank you that I'm not a D-plus, you know. I'm a C-minus or I'm a B-minus or whatever. So I don't try to think, you know, what these people have I want. Billy Graham would be one, but I could also say other people who, as I listened, I thought, this is something that's absolutely amazing to me. And what's happening to the audience as they're listening, and I say audience because at the time I was saying that, I thought Francis Schaeffer was that way. Francis Schaeffer had the ability to absolutely mesmerize large numbers of people. And when he spoke, and I heard him numbers of times, I interviewed him on my broadcast, I knew him. I would say I knew him better than I knew Billy Graham. There's no question about that. But Francis Schaeffer had a strange presence of the Lord in terms of when he was in his strength area or when he was in his sweet spot. He was very, very good. He's with the Lord now. I would say that a close friend of mine, Dr. K.P. Yohanan of Gospel for Asia, when he speaks and he's talking about what is important to him, which is reaching people in Asia for the gospel of Jesus, there's nobody better. And you sit in that chair and you are deeply, deeply moved. So, and would I say that there's an anointing? Yeah, I would, but I would give very positive meanings to that term in those cases. And I wouldn't say he just means... And I don't hear these people using the term. He just means, boy, I'm really worked up now. So it's I would give a lot more credence to what the term means, and I wouldn't just make it a cultural thing. Mm-hmm. I think there are people, Dean, who in churches would say their minister is anointed, and I believe they mean by that he speaks in a very powerful way to where we are as his or her congregation, and for that we're deeply grateful, and in that sense I'm very happy to have them use the term. It's not a problem to me.
one of the things that occurs to me as we're talking about this is a sense, I sense sometimes in certain pastors as they preach, a liberty in what they're saying. I don't sense any constraint.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's good.
I've always attributed that to a special anointing of the Holy Spirit in that moment where the words flow in such a way that it goes beyond the ability of someone to simply put those words down on paper or repeat them if they're reading from a manuscript. There's something that happens that's electrifying with what they say. And I take that as the work of the Spirit. It's occurred to me over time that prayer plays a very important role in that. So I guess I would ask you, how often does having others pray for you affect what happens in a service?
I think it's huge. Yeah, I believe that I knew that more in my early days when I was preaching regularly to a congregation because I had their prayer support. When I come in as an outside speaker, I don't sense that as much. Mm-hmm. So I try to make up for that through my own personal life with the Lord. I can tell the difference. The last church I spoke in, when I came, there must have been 25, 30 people all in a big circle praying, probably 20 minutes before the service started. And they're, as you listen to the prayers, they weren't stock prayers. They were prayers of sometimes people they had invited to the service. So you have this very strong sense. There is a supernatural that goes on, you know, and I believe in that. It's a paradox. It's the paradox of gifts God has given to his people, and then there is that special presence of the Lord that is felt. So how to sort all those things out, it takes a bigger brain than what I have, and probably a bigger brain than what you have, but we're struggling with it, aren't we?
Indeed. So to bring this to a place where it's useful and helpful to the pastors listening to us, how would you suggest that a given pastor listening to our conversation should respond to what we're talking about?
Well, I think that you are asking for the Lord's presence all the time you're preparing. You're certainly encouraging prayer. Our pastor in the local church where I'm a member, he has been almost pleading with the congregation to come and pray before the service with him. And in fact, he just asked us this last week. He said, would you be in charge of that prayer meeting? I don't seem to be able to get the people to come the way I'd like. And so now Karen and I will wrestle with that problem and say, how do we get the people to come? But he's asking for it, and I'm glad for that. And I think that pastors all over the country are asking for that now. And maybe there will be the rallying in churches everywhere where the prayer will begin to sustain the church, which is what's needed. So we need the presence of the Lord more than we need just the sweat that says, oh, man, mm-hmm. I can feel it now. I got to get the hanky out and wipe my brow because I think that's the anointing. I that's not fair with pastors are good people. So I just want to be very careful with the words that we use.
Yeah, we're certainly not putting anyone down, and we're simply marveling at a phenomenon that's difficult to understand because there is a supernatural aspect to it. I can't help but thinking, David, of a story you told many years ago about the Aaron and Hur societies that were formed during times of revival, where people would agree to meet for prayer and hold up, if you would, the arms of the pastor, the way that Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arms during
yes.
the battle. And
yes.
There is a very real sense where preaching is part of the spiritual battle.
Yes.
And so having people to support you in prayer is a very important aspect of that anointing that we seek from God to make sure, number one, we're saying to the congregation what he wants them to hear, and then secondly, that he makes our saying of it effective.
Yes.
Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to the hearts of the people through mm-hmm. the words that the pastor says, and that's what we want. We want more than anything is to be faithful servants and also to be able to look back and say, yes, I sensed that God was speaking through me. If for no evidence other than the fact that someone gives testimony to the fact that God really spoke to me through what
yes.
you said today.
Yes.
We appreciate you being with us for this podcast. We're so glad that you've taken time to join us in our discussions. We also invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there for pastors. We want to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to join us once again for the next podcast.